16 minutes away from 4 o'clock. It's Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas, taking you up until 6:35 tonight. It is a Tuesday, and that means it's time for our Tuesdays with Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram on our local beat with Lisa. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers, a trusted name in jewelry. They're on Broad Street right across from the hospital. Vandermark's a trusted name in jewelry, and they've been doing it for many, many years. I can tell you firsthand because I've got lots of experience heading down to see Jim and Bob Vandermark down at Vandermark Jewelers. As a matter of fact, saw them last night. They were at the WEOL 70th anniversary celebration, and Lisa Roberson was there as well. Lisa, did you enjoy yourself last night?
I did enjoy myself, and actually I enjoy seeing Jim Vandermark because I always love to see what he has in store for us.
Yeah, he got me into trouble yesterday because he flashed out one of his pieces of jewelry.
And he does that.
My fiance just happened to be there.
Uh-oh.
And of course, this caught her eye, and the price tag caught my eye a little bit. I thought, well, you know, let's see here. Maybe after working a few more high school football games and some Saturday sports wrap-up shows, I might be able to pull this off, but we'll see. But, yeah, it's always great to see Jim. And, boy, that was a lot of fun last night for sure. It was a lot of fun for all parties involved. And, Lisa, I know you've been extraordinarily busy down in Medina these days, but last week you had put together a nice little piece talking about Lorraine County's Ohio school report cards and talking about the differences in some of the school districts around here and how they graded out, and wanted to give you a chance to kind of expand on that because, boy, these results, they were all across the map.
Yes, with the Ohio Department of Education, when they put out these report cards each fall, it gives community members and parents an opportunity to look at their respective districts and kind of figure out where they stand and where they rank, not only amongst other districts in the county, but all across the state. In Lorraine, the marks range from an overall grade of like an A in Avon, which is the only district to own a really high score, to an F in Lorraine, which was the only district to earn this low mark. And so these new overall grades were the new part of the grading process that the Ohio Department of Education put out for 2018. And it kind of takes six different component grades and kind of aggregates them into one grade so that you can look at the district and see one grade of how they're doing.
Now, last week, we were speaking with David Pritt, the Director of Curriculum and Instruction over at North Ridgeville, and they seem pretty pleased with what they were able to get in a lot of different categories. But, boy, just taking a look at the overall grades here, you mentioned Avon with the A, Amherst, Avon Lake, and Firelands all achieving Bs for overall grades. Seemed like there were a healthy chunk of Cs mixed in there as well. Did you see anything in here that might have caught you by surprise a little bit, or were these results kind of what you expected?
Well, the results are not catching me by surprise because if you can see, you know, this has been some years in the making. The state has changed the curriculum. They have changed the report cards and changed the tests so many times that school districts are now trying to kind of catch up to what the state wants and so that they can make sure that they are hitting those benchmarks in their classrooms. And so a lot of schools, if you look deeper into the reports, you know, you will see that these schools are now starting to trend upwards and the report cards are progressively getting better.
Very good stuff. Again, Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us here on Bullseye on the afternoon. Want to transition into something else I know we've touched on in recent weeks, but City Council decided to okay the cost of repairs to State Routes 113 and 57, and I think most definitely needed. There's no question about that. I think if you've driven on either one of those roads, it's certainly something that might not be, I wouldn't say long overdue, but it's overdue for sure, though. But City Council decided to okay the cost of these repairs. Just wanted to get your thoughts on the details as to what this is going to cost. And I think for everybody out there listening right now, you know, when is all this going down? Because anytime you're talking about repairs to a road, you know you've got to bring your patience along with it because that's going to back things up a little bit.
Yes. Well, at least with these projects, State Routes 113 and 57, the construction is not expected to begin in June. So we'll get through the winter months, so we'll get through the spring, and we'll start again in the summertime. But with these projects, they're going to be financed with a state infrastructure bank loan. And so it's about a $1.1 million loan that's going to take care of the city's portion of these projects. And they'll pay this loan out for about $125,000 a year over the next 10 years from its fund called the Motor Vehicle Tax Fund. And so those are the taxes that when people are paying their driver's license. That's where the money goes into, and they use that money to pay for road improvements. And so typically that fund is tapped for road surfacing projects, paving all across the city. But sometimes they also use that for a local match. That's what they're going to do in this process. This is similar to what happened 10 years ago when the reconstruction of State Route 57 took place. They used that fund, and they kind of paid the project off over a decade.
Well, Lisa, I want to transition into something else right now. Boy, I tell you, if you were in downtown Elyria over the weekend, you saw the march through Ely Square this past weekend in regards to Suicide Awareness Month. I want to say there was somewhere in the area of 20 to 30 folks that walked through. And well, it seemed like it was a pretty interesting scene. And it's certainly something that certainly caught a lot of folks by surprise a little bit, just kind of reading some quotes from the story. A lot of folks didn't even know that September is considered National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month.
Yes. Saturday's march, it was spearheaded by a local woman named Keandra Booker. It gave a voice, I would think you can say, to people who are struggling with the loss of a loved one or maybe possibly even thinking about thoughts of harming themselves. And so this kind of puts the topic in the forefront of people's minds. There's always this worry that if you start talking about suicide, then it would encourage more suicides. But actually, suicide prevention and getting people to ask the right questions of their loved ones, it can help with the prevention. And so if you can recall, Elyria High School, they lost a student this year, Brendan Rich Beckett, who would have been a junior this year. And so his sisters attended the march in his honor. And, you know, they're hoping that they can also have a second event in November, because in the holidays, the suicide rates seem to spike. And so this march was kind of the opportunity to get out into the public and tell people, we see you, we understand, and we're here for you.
Was the ultimate goal just to raise awareness for, again, it being Suicide Awareness Month?
Yes, to raise awareness, but then it also was followed by a suicide prevention class that was held Sunday at Second Baptist Church, which had a member from the Lorain County Board of Mental Health was there. So the weekend was about not just kind of remembering the lives of people, but also giving people the tools to save lives in their own families and friends, and kind of knowing which questions to ask.
That's cool.
Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle Telegram is joining us on the Local Beat with Lisa, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. And, well, we have to ask you about this as well, because, of course, not only are you with the Chronicle Telegram, but, of course, now, for those who haven't heard, you're spending a great deal of time down in Medina with the Medina Gazette. And, well, there was a story released over the weekend about five linemen from the Lorain Medina Rural Electric Cooperative that are making their way down to North Carolina to help restore power and assistance wherever it is needed down there after the aftermath, of course, of the hurricane and, of course, Tropical Storm Florence as well. Pretty neat that some folks from up in this area are able to provide their services and head on down there where help is absolutely positively needed.
Yes. Well, the Ohio is a part of a mutual aid response team. People hear mutual aid, they think about fire departments and police departments, but also there's a lot of other public services that are participate in kind of mutual aid programs. And so the Ohio Electric Cooperative Safety and Loss Control Committee, they will send people down to these affected states and communities, and they will help get people back on track. I think I was reading today that there's upwards of 500,000 people between North and South Carolina that are without power right now. So they need all the help they can get to get everybody back online.
Yeah, get people back online. And boy, the flooding has become a major problem down there right now. Not that it wasn't expected. It most certainly was. But there are going to be a lot of issues over the next couple of weeks as well. Because, look, this is hurricane season. You'd like to think that's the only one that's going to hit that area. But the unpredictability of these weather patterns and these hurricanes is just so unknown at this point. But those folks down in those states, they need a lot of help right now. Lisa? Always a pleasure to have you on with us. We always appreciate the time. And, well, we know you are extraordinarily busy keeping tabs on what's going on in Elyria and, of course, keeping tabs on what's going on down in Medina as well. But, as always, we appreciate the time, and we'll do it again next week.
Yep. I love you guys to have me on, so I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Lisa. Again, Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle Telegram and the Medina Gazette joining us on the Local Beat with Lisa. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Make sure you pay Jim and Bob Vandermark a visit right down the street from the station. It's on Broad Street right across from the hospital. Now, when you go down there, I'm just going to tell you, dudes don't always know what they want when they go into a jewelry shop. I can tell you that because I was in that situation almost a year ago. Not quite sure what you're looking for? Well, visit Jim and Bob, Tell them the budget that you're working with, and they can make it happen. They'll find you exactly what you're looking for, and they can get you a real nice gift. Sweet Estate, not too far away, so you should be armed and ready to rock and roll when that moment approaches. The holidays are still a couple of months away, but something to think about. When you head down to Vandermark Jewelers, they've got a gift for just about every single occasion. All right, we need to get to a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will return with more after this on AM 930 WEOL. When disaster strikes, you need to know what to do and where to go. Prepare.